G. We've got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show coming your way featuring Adam Cox. Adam is a partner and wealth management executive with Prairie View Wealth Partners. He's a podcast host. We had a great conversation that, of course, started with two truths and a lie. And then we got into the importance of tax planning in the financial planning process, being proactive, being reactive, and how that process works. We talked about how business owners are adept at making good, solid decisions. They are capable of dealing with uncertainty as they're doing it all the time, and how to best serve them and other high-performing people when it comes to asking the question of what happens next? What happens after you sell your business? What happens after you retire? What do you want to happen? What do you want to have your wealth impact? What do you want to have your wealth do? What do you really value? That's one of the biggest questions. And most importantly, how to have those conversations, how to begin them, and how to get people to experience the life and the financial plan that they truly do want. Then, of course, we closed with a great difference-making tip. I know you're going to love it. Let's go.
Adam, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please, sir.
Two truths and a lie. Let's see. Last year, I grew 30 kale plants. In high school, I played trombone in a ska band, if you remember ska music.
I do.
And each year, I watch nearly every new Hallmark movie that comes out.
Oh, my goodness. These are excellent. Well, I think that you are a gardener. I don't know about the ska band or the trombone and Hallmark movies. I don't know much about you. You seem perfectly capable of either enjoying Hallmark movies or hating them thoroughly. So yep. I'm going to say that the second one is the lie.
The ska band?
Yes.
I was not in a ska band in high school.
Did you play just trombone independent of a ska band?
I did play trombone prior to high school. I was in the era of ska bands, but I didn't play in one.
Okay. 30 kale plants. Is that an increase or a decrease from the year before?
Dramatic increase, and I dramatically decreased it this year.
Okay. How come?
That's a lot of kale, turns out. Turns out that lasted me all winter and then some. So scaled back this year.
Yeah, you're like, well, I was really effective at producing kale. Let's dial that down a little bit.
That's right.
And you are a sentimental person. You love what is it about Hallmark movies that you enjoy?
I love predictable movies. I feel like I have enough drama in my life that when I watch a movie, I don't want any of it. I want to know that those two crazy kids are going to end up together.
Against all odds, it's somehow going to work out.
That's right.
I love that. I appreciate the self-awareness on that one. So awesome. Yes. All right. We're off to a great start. What's top of mind for you right now?
Top of mind for me is professionally starting a new firm, which we're really excited about. We're a little over 2 months in. And our thesis is that modern wealth management should lead with tax planning. And so the thing top of mind for me is how to infuse tax planning as a regular part of wealth management services and to attract clients that are looking for that.
When did you come upon or decide on that thesis?
You know, it was probably a few years ago when we started meetings and started seeing data that went along with the things we're hearing in meetings, which was, I don't have anyone to do tax planning for me anymore. You know, my CPA used to do tax planning, or I used to meet regularly with my CPA and go through planning, and that just doesn't happen anymore. My CPA retired. And you see that in the industry data as well, where clients are raising their hand saying the thing that they're looking for the most these days seem to be tax planning. And there's fewer and fewer people willing and able to provide it. So that creates an opportunity for firms like ours that want to lead with tax planning to be able to step in and do so.
Well, that certainly makes sense. Do you wish that you would have gotten a CPA instead of your JD?
Nope.
Hard no.
Nope, not even close.
Right, fair enough, fair enough. So, in terms of desiring predictability in an unpredictable world, where does that fit into taxes, tax planning, just financial planning in general?
It's certainly always going to be an unpredictable world we live in. I think we can narrow the band of unpredictability somewhat by doing really proactive planning and talking through a variety of different scenarios, some good, some bad, some in the middle, and to plan for a range of outcomes in that uncertain world. I think that gives clients a lot of peace of mind. It gives us peace of mind as advisors that we've covered a lot of ground and we've talked about the things that we need to talk to with our clients. And so I think it helps on both sides of the table.
How much of tax planning is proactive versus reactive?
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of reactive tax planning because the reality is whether you're a CPA or an RIA that does tax planning as well, you're only as effective as the information that your clients give you. And so sometimes when you review someone's tax return, that tax return's already been filed, and your advice is going to be a little reactive. Or our clients have already done something, whether they sold an asset or sold a business. Sometimes you don't find out until after the fact. So by its nature, that planning can be a little reactive. Ideally, if you have a relationship with your clients that, again, whether you're the CPA or any professional, frankly, that if your clients bring you into the conversation before an action has been taken, you can do a lot of proactive planning and say, okay, I understand you want to sell that home or that business or piece of property, whatever it is. Let's think about this in a variety of different ways in the context of your greater financial picture and figure out the right time and the right way to dispose of that asset.
Which certainly makes sense. And probably the more information that client can share, the better.
Yeah, and the earlier the better.
And that takes time for that relationship to form, or it just depends.
Yeah, that's right. And again, sometimes clients will just do things as we all do, and because we think about, well, I want to get this thing done, or this was on my list, or an opportunity presented itself that was too good to pass up. Sometimes those things happen, but in the ideal circumstance, a client will surround themselves with great advisors, all of whom are willing to sit around the table before an action is taken so they can plan for the best possible outcome.
Do you have a certain profile that you like to work with, a certain kind of client?
Yeah, I'd say most of our clients are going to fall in two categories. One would be high net worth professionals or business owners who are planning for an eventual inflection point, whether that's going to be retirement from the profession or retirement because they're selling a business. So that would be one camp of clients, and those clients we're doing heavy planning and running scenarios for. The second would be the ultra high net worth clients where they have already had a liquidity event, and we're focused a lot more for them on cash flow planning, legacy planning, just overall financial management. Just a lot of different things in that category that ultra high net worth clients are looking for. But by and large, a lot of the clients that we are working with were either business owners at one point or are still business owners.
What is it about those folks that you enjoy?
Those folks really have a mind for business, which we love. And when it comes down to a personal finance, it's kind of a P&L. It's a balance sheet. It's things that they are used to dealing with in their businesses. And so that translates really nicely into the financial planning process. And by and large, those clients can be a little less emotional about the process as well, because they understand the numbers and they understand what it looks like to have to make decisions even in the absence of perfect information. And you talked about an uncertain world before. We all live in that uncertain world, and they certainly did as business owners. So they understand that we're making decisions based on the best information possible that we have right now, knowing that that information could change.
Certainly, folks who are very accustomed to making decisions based on everything you just said, they're operators, it's proper, it's profit and loss. And some of it is, it's necessary to kind of pick your eyes up a little bit and to start considering maybe some of those touchy-feely kind of stuff that you've never thought about. What's next? What kind of legacy do I want to leave?
Yeah, that's, there's two points there I think that are really interesting. One is in their business, they often relied on other experts around them, whether that was inside their business or outside the business. So they're accustomed to having people give their opinions and bringing in outside expertise. So that's great. The other part of what you said there is really interesting, the what happens next component. So that's something I spend a lot of time thinking about. How do we introduce new challenges, new concepts, new thought processes to these clients before they have that liquidity event? For instance, if they're selling a business, to plan for, well, what does my life look like when I no longer am that business owner? Because so often business owners take that persona of being a business owner or owning that particular asset as part of their DNA, so to speak. And when you strip that out, well, what are you when you're no longer the owner of that business or the CEO of that business? And that gets back to something we talk about a lot, which is purpose. What is your purpose? Was your purpose to always be the CEO or owner of that asset? Or do you have a higher purpose, a different purpose? And if so, what is that? And then how can this money be used to help solve for that purpose or further that purpose or explore it?
Strikes me that failure to explore that is kind of at your own peril, because maybe you're not going to go through with it, or if you do, you're just not going to be a happy person.
Yeah, it's a really interesting thing to see what happens to, let's talk about business owners in this context, but the same can be said for someone who's worked a long time at the same job or achieved a certain level of their profession, where that becomes part of their identity. When that changes, it is really, really interesting to see what happens to people when that happens. So, for instance, they sell the business, the check or the wire clears, and then all of a sudden the next day they don't have to go to work anymore. They don't have to do that thing that they have been doing for, in many cases, decades. Well, when you wake up, what are you waking up for? What are you going to do with the rest of your life when you're not that person, you're not that thing anymore? And the people who have ignored that conversation, by and large, as I've seen, have struggled the most post-sale, because they will go out, they'll buy all the things, they'll take the trips, they'll do all the stuff that they have been waiting to do. But oftentimes it's kind of papering over the bigger questions. And inevitably, we all have to look at those things. We all have to confront that, look in the mirror, look at our family and say, who am I now? Who am I serving? What is this all for? And what comes next? And we all have to face that.
Now that I just did everything that I wanted to do, or I told myself I was going to do, what do I do with the next 34 and a half years?
Correct. Yes, correct.
I
Yes, that's exactly right.
did it in 6 months. Don't have to go to work anymore. I could see how it's, I don't get to go to work anymore. It's like, I don't have a place to go anymore. I'm not the boss. I don't have my people to do. I'm not, it's so many different things like you're talking about that are just not there anymore.
Yep, that's right. And it's, in some instances, that's really freeing. That's exciting to not have that responsibility, feel like a big burden has been lifted. But then oftentimes a new burden is, what am I going to do with my time? And why do I get out of bed every day?
Yeah. So what do those conversations look like?
They can be a bit uncomfortable at times. And that's something that I actually enjoy, is stepping into those uncomfortable spaces with clients and asking the hard questions and then being quiet, or just giving clients something to think about and do some homework and then come back to and go grab a cup of coffee and talk about the big life stuff. I really, really enjoy that. I think that that is, it's healthy for all of us to explore those things, but it's absolutely critical that people who are coming up on an inflection point solve for those things, because I've seen how miserable people can be if they don't have the answers to that. And so I can convey that. I can convey my experiences with clients who have answered that question before the time came, and I can convey the times when they haven't and the difference in outcomes between those two, because eventually they're going to have to face it. And so whether we do it beforehand or whether we do it in the middle or after, at some point we're going to have to do that. And big questions have to be asked and have to be answered. And a lot of times people will come back to things that they anchor to fundamentally or to their core, whether that's their faith or whether that's community support or supporting their family. But talking about those things and verbalizing those things and say, okay, that's great that you say you believe those things. And that's true. But what does that look like? What does that look like now when you have a lot more time and a lot more assets to be able to support those things? How do you want those things to manifest? Do you want to give a bunch of money away? Do you want to give away a bunch of your time? Do you want to set your kids or your grandkids or your great grandkids up? Or do you not want to spoil them? What does that look like? And let's just talk about those things. And that's oftentimes many conversations and many iterations. And it can feel a little muddy and it's hard. And because a lot of times two spouses don't talk about that stuff because they're so busy. They're busy raising kids. They're busy helping grandkids. They're busy running businesses, dual careers, all those things. We don't often stop and think about those things. So when you then have the ability to do that, how do you even process those conversations when you haven't had them before?
I don't know that it's obvious or intuitive. So having a guide is immense value.
Yes. Yeah.
How interesting. Like, do you think that your spouse is going to want to have you around all the time after not having you around all the time? I'm sure they would. I'm sure that they'll be happy, but.
Yeah, maybe.
why don't we at least talk about it? Let's talk about what this could look like. And it's so funny. And it's like, yeah, I'd like to get around to all these things, but I've got laundry to do. Got to, you know, get the house painted, whatever. There's just so many things that kind of stand in the way of these bigger conversations. And it's also interesting processing that stuff. Are you a person who wants to think about this on your own? And I'll give you some stuff to think about and then we can come back. Or is this something that you want to have a conversation with you and your spouse or maybe even your kids and involve the whole family?
Yep. I think the best thing to do in those circumstances is always ask permission. Always ask, how do you want to process this? Do you want to hash it out in a room together? Do you want me to give you some questions to think about and we can circle back around? Do you want to have this conversation over coffee, someplace that's a little more intimate and quiet, that's not a conference room, a formal conversation kind of thing? And just ask people how they want to go about this, but also know enough about your clients ideally where you know the best way to get the best information out of them. So some clients, you know, when they sit around a conference room table are only going to share so much versus if you're sitting in their living room and talking to them that way. So that's just knowing your clients and asking permission how best to have the conversations.
So it's marrying expertise with a process that is fluid enough to make people feel comfortable and to maximize it. To be confident and patient enough to be able to hold that space to actually get to where it is they want to go.
Yeah. The reality is this stuff is not formulaic. A financial plan, you know, putting together tax projections, those things can oftentimes be formulaic. It's numbers in, numbers out. But this stuff that we're talking about someone's values, talking about what they are most concerned about, that stuff is different. It's like walking through mud. So the best we can do is know where we want to get to, but be flexible enough from point A to point B to be able to get to the best possible outcome.
Yeah. And to be good dance partners and to be engaged.
Good dance partners.
So we're not stepping on everybody's toes, Adam. I love it. Well, Adam, you've given us a lot, but we're ready for that difference-making tip. What do you have for us?
Difference-making tip, the next time you meet with your advisor, if they don't ask you, I would bring up your values. So more than just talking about your goals and your financial goals, I would bring to the next meeting the things that you value the most to add those to your next agenda. So to keep those as your North Star, it shouldn't just be we're trying to hit a certain number. It's we're trying to hit a certain number because of our values. So bring your values in with you the next time you meet with your advisor.
Well, I think that that is great stuff. That definitely gets it. Come on. So what are some common values? That is it security? Is it stewardship? Is it giving? It's community, it's connection, stuff like that.
Yeah, I'd say a lot of the ones that we see are going to be around giving. So we work with a lot of very charitable people. And so giving, whether that's to giving back to their church, giving back to their community, giving to their family, that giving component is always there somewhere. The other part is maybe it's reconnection. It's we spent a lot of time apart. We spent a lot of time building a business, living separate lives. We want to have time to reconnect as a couple and as a family. We see that quite often as well. And then also fun. You know, we make a lot of sacrifices when we're building businesses and building careers and building our families. And we want to have some more space to just do some fun stuff.
I love it. Giving, connection, and fun. We sort of lose that when we get a little older, don't we? The spirit of fun and play, and we all want to do it. Maybe we're just and so I guess arriving at that sooner rather than later is better, but it's never too late to reconnect with fun.
It's never too late.
And you can have fun growing kale or playing the trombone or watching Hallmark movies. There's not a right or wrong way to do it.
Nope. Not formulaic, George.
I love it. Well, Adam, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they connect with you?
Yeah, probably the easiest way is through LinkedIn, just Adam Cox, and you'll find me there on LinkedIn. You can also check out our website, Prairie View Wealth Partners, and be happy to see you, and feel free to drop me a note anytime.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Adam your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Find Adam on LinkedIn and then go to prairieviewwealthpartners.com and check out a little bit more in depth into what we've been talking about today. Thanks again, Adam.
Thanks, George.
Finally, friendly reminder, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.